Next, I'd like to invite Mr. Paul Suske up here. Paul is Executive Vice President of Regulatory Policy, General Counsel, and Corporate Secretary for Southwest Power Pool, SPP, which is a nonprofit designated by FERC to serve as the RTO in 11 states. Paul is also a retired colonel who has served over 20 years in the U.S. Army's JAG Corps. Welcome, Paul.
Well, thank you, and good afternoon, everyone. I appreciate the invitation to come down from Arkansas. I love hearing about some Arkansas case law earlier. But to come down, talk about Arkansas, and talk about a different RTO just north of here, but has a lot of similarities with ERCOT and a couple of distinct differences. So what I want to do is, let's see if I get this clicker right, kind of give you a bit, talk about the history of SPP, the partnerships we have, both on how we collaborate, probably very similar to ERCOT pre-URI governance structure. Talk about some state and federal policies that y'all had very similar policies in Texas that's had a significant impact on the change of our grid. How we've used interregional planning and regional planning with FERC orders, and actually some insight into the history behind FERC Order 1000, talk about the results, and then talk about how we're currently expanding and growing our markets into the Western Interconnect, and we'll talk about it in a bit. Bit about our history, actually, ERCOT and SPP have almost identical foundings. So 8 days after Pearl Harbor, Southwest Power Pool was formed, and here's why it was formed. The largest deposit of bauxite in North America is in Arkansas. And so as a result, they didn't want supply chains, they didn't want supply lines, and as a result, they built a Jones Mill in Arkansas to create aluminum for the war effort. The amount of electricity this plant required compared to what was in the state, if you blacked out the entire state of Arkansas, there was not enough electricity to meet the demand. So 11 utilities from Arkansas, Texas, Louisiana, Oklahoma, and Kansas formed the Southwest Power Pool, connected the grid with federal funds, Department of War funds, connected the grid and started sharing power, and has remained in existence since then. This is kind of a give you an idea of the 82-year history. Today I'm going to kind of talk about just the what I call highlighted in yellow, these milestones that really fundamentally change what we do in energy policy in our West. A point somehow kind of interesting where we're very much relationship-based. We were formed in 1941 with like a little letter agreement, but we were not incorporated until 1994. And so it's always been about a collaborative effort, people getting in a room, solving problems that are becoming much more difficult these days, as you are all aware with the challenges our grid faces. So this is a map. I'm sure you've seen it before. So we are unique is all DC ties connect through SPP, except for one in Canada, those with the Western Interconnect and the two into ERCOT. Interesting part of our evolution as an RTO, when we became an RTO in 2004, our footprint was the red. In 2008-09 timeframe, Nebraska joined, and then the integrated system joined, being the first time a federal power marketing agency joined an RTO, and that was when the Dakotas and other parts of states joined. So we basically go from ERCOT to the Canadian border. So there's a little bit of facts about our footprint. It's rural. It's not a lot of load centers, but those that we do have tend to be in the east part of the footprint. And so you think about it, is our peak load is actually about the equal to the peak load in California, but obviously California is just one state. So talk about partnerships and our governance model. So SPP and our governance model, it's kind of interesting. It's very much a member-driven process. It's very much like a cooperative. Every member gets a vote. I always love telling people, I got this cool title of EVP, General Counsel, Corporate Secretary. I get no vote. The only person that's on staff that gets a vote in our stakeholder process is our CEO who serves on the board of directors. It's very much our job is to help facilitate. We can offer our opinions. We can say, here's what we think. We can roll out straw proposals. But through our governance, we as SPP staff do not actually get a vote. And so we have a diversity of members. You can see a wide diverse membership. G&T's co-ops tend to be the largest number. We have IPPs, and then you have IOUs. Interesting, IOUs are a majority of the load.